morning, Justin.
Good morning, Mark. Do you remember what we're talking about?
Yes.
No, I meant the audience.
Oh, with the audience? I thought you were talking about 5 minutes ago. I do remember
that.
Do
the audience remember what we're going to talk about? That's the real question.
Oh, they probably do in the segue, the way we left the segue last time with the cliffhanger. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Yes.
Now it was more of a wrestling, I think, for us to catch back up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 2 weeks have definitely gone by, and it's like, yeah, being able to come back. I in all honesty, I would have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, each week we kind of bring our own little,
that's right,
what about this topic, what about that topic to the discussion. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I was already, my mind was already down another trail. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good to come back. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
I want to be able to do what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it.
That's right. Although, stop listening.
Well.
Just kidding. No, last time. So we had a little intermission where we had a guest last week. So
sure.
Probably, I haven't decided yet. This is a little, what do you call that?
Foreshadowing?
Baseball. Oh. Inside baseball.
Okay.
Right. Where I haven't decided if I'm going to release Jeff's guest one before this one. I kind of feel like I should just put this one next. So
I hear where you're coming from. Yes.
So now you know it's a struggle to figure that out. So,
it is a struggle. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. Anyway. Last time we talked about codependency.
Sure.
And we kind of referenced the fact that it's a big subject, especially if it starts veering into some of the tangential subjects.
Sure.
We talked quite a bit about the concept of enabling. I think we covered, you know, generally what codependency is as kind of an overarching relational theme.
Sure.
And then we kind of broke down the two parts of a codependent relationship. Kind of typically there's two pieces to the puzzle there, two sides to the equation, the codependent and then what we call the addict, but it can be just the other side, right?
Sure.
That receives the codependent behavior and assumes it.
Right.
And then we said, well, how do we work through that, right? And how do we deal with that? And we started to talk about boundaries, and then when we started talking about boundaries, I said, wait, Mark, that'll be good for next week. And you started to say something good, and
How do you know?
I'm every time you talk, Mark, I'm like, this is good stuff. Yes. I haven't had my quiet time kombucha yet, though.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that. That was good. Nice little segue there. Or nice little intro, I should say.
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to bring me some, but
oh, you know what?
Folks,
I didn't. I drank it all during, I drank my quota during quiet time, you know?
That's right. Good choice. So what do you think, Mark?
Yeah, boundaries.
What do you think about boundaries?
Oh, there's a lot that I tend to think about boundaries. I can honestly admit that even though I wanted to do a different topic for the morning,
you're still sour about that.
No, I'm not. I'm realizing how boundaries came into that topic. I can admit I blew a boundary this week.
Uh-oh.
You know, and I think that's the reality of it is sometimes we don't realize. I think boundaries are great. I think we need them to have healthy lives, you know, as far as where is the line. But sometimes in the line, you know, we can try to get so close and we might not even necessarily realize when we cross over until someone else may bring that to our attention. Or there's a point where circumstances come into play. I wasn't necessarily, you know, I can be tired, I can be hungry, you know, those kind of things that kind of factor into the situation. And I think that's what makes it difficult. And that's where the part where I mentioned last time, Lizzie and I were talking about
our formulas.
Formulas, yes. Our desire for formulas. Because if I do this and I do this and I do this, then boom, this is what happens. And I don't think life is typically that way.
It's not formulaic.
Yeah. Love the Lord your God, you know, love others, you know, those kind of things. That's what God talks with us. Keep him first. Okay. Well, what does it mean to keep him first? Does that mean I have to have the first hour of my day spent with him? Well, maybe for some people, but not for others. You follow me? What does it mean to love other people? And Lizzie and I were having the discussion because she had to write a paper that was based on what they were referring to as two books. And, you know, it was defining the books of science, because science wants to prove something and it's got to be, you know, attainable. It's got to be measurable, all that. And and scripture. So how does a scientist, okay, hold on to their spirituality, if you will, and yet still value science? Because it can seem in our culture that those two things are polar opposite. You can't necessarily, you know, hold on to your Christian values and be a scientist. And I think, you know, that's where the discussion came into play. And I think, you know, that's where so often our boundaries need to be drawn, is between being able to blend two things that seem as if they're on opposite ends of a spectrum. We all know people who are typically think in black and white. It's either or, you know, and so often we recognize there's a lot of gray in life, and we have to be able to say, okay, how can I blend those two? Because I can't typically make it one or the other. And so often what I end up finding myself doing is flip-flopping. If I'm really stuck in that black and white, I just kind of find myself flip-flopping from one end of the spectrum to the other. And I think that's where boundaries come into play for me. And I'll admit, you know, where the part that I was coming to is, I think, you know, each person kind of has to develop that within the relationships around them. And, you know, sometimes I think that's what makes relationship so valuable, because we can help others and others help us kind of define what boundaries look like. And yet at the same time, that's where I also recognize that my boundaries tend to impact, you know, my family, my wife. If am I limiting it, this is where it came from. Am I doing a sufficient job of limiting my work from coming into my family time, or, you know, our Kristen and my couple time, you know, to be able to say, okay, there's a point where, you know, I can work very hard for a season, maybe, but yet when does that season end? Where is the boundary to where this is circumstantial? We'll do it this long. But then we're going to cut that day. We're going to start cutting the time back as far as how much I'm working, even if it's a seasonal thing. Because if we don't have boundaries, we just continue to press that envelope. And, you know, and, you know, 10-hour days turn into 12-hour days. And, you know,
we kind of flow with the river. If the river's flowing upstream, you know.
Yeah.
So where, like you said, okay, this just extends to I'm working more and more and more and more. And, or it can go the other way too, where it's like I'm caring less and less and less about my job and, you know, risking losing a job or whatever. Like,
yes,
it can go, you know, but if we don't, make course corrections.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I think from my perspective too, I think our priorities are reflected in our boundaries. I can't say that something is important to me, you know, and therefore not allow any time for that in my day. To where if my family is important, I'm going to establish boundaries around that. My relationship with Chris, you know, my relationship with God, you know, kind of working. It's like I'm taking that into context of being able to say, okay, how much time am I spending in both? because I believe, you know, our lives are finite. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know, I'll catch myself every now and then say, I can make the time to do that. No, nobody can make time, mm-hmm. you know, and yet our tendency is to say what we're doing is I'll put that priority over something else.
I would like AI to figure this out. How to allow it to make more time.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah. You're
could,
right.
You like, could be a wealthy man.
Yeah. I know. All yeah. Right. I'm on it.
Okay.
yeah. I mean, that's a great point that time is our single resource in life that you cannot add more or take away. Like it is what it is and there's no cheating it.
Yeah.
And so that's a good point for a boundary marker, right? Is time, time spent. Would you say in your experience personally and certainly sure. in counseling that boundaries, how important are they to A, an unhealthy relationship and B, a healthy relationship? Like, I guess I could summarize it by saying all relationships, yes. but I guess I kind of want to understand both sides of that continuum. And I have a hunch, but I would love,
I'd say it's very important to both.
Yeah, equally, right?
If I have a difficult relationship, it's probably due to my lack of boundaries. And if I have a good relationship, it's probably in part due to my definition of boundaries.
That's good. That's kind of was my hunch. I'm like, I think maybe sometimes we think of boundaries as something unhealthy people have to do.
Sure. And I think I think boundaries create healthy relationship because we're able to define them in such a way that says this is too far. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm by myself, you know, I may need just that reminder. And yeah, and I think first and foremost, God gets to define that, you know, and then, you know, Chris and I work together at saying, okay, you know, how much is too much to spend without talking about it? You follow me? Cause like you say, I mean, that used to be a hot button for Chris and I, just based on how we grew up so differently was finances.
Yeah.
So being able to understand, okay, I can spend basically right up to $50 or, you know, give or take around $50, you know, that no problem. But, you know, if we start talking 500, you know, I'm not going to do that without necessarily talking with Chris because that's a financial boundary.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have to tell her, you know, if I'm buying a pack of gum, you know, because that's too far in the other direction. Mm-hmm. She trusts me at that part, but it's just, she takes care of the finances primarily. And if I'm spending big allotments without her knowing of it on a routine basis, it makes her job very difficult.
Yeah. So this gets into your formulas thing. Okay. So in your relationship, there's a boundary and it lies right around the $50 mark and it ties directly into your specific relationship.
Yep.
I could flip the script and say what's the dollar amount she can spend without consulting you? And the number is probably a lot higher based on just knowing Mark.
Actually, I would.
You're like, a pack of gum. I need to know.
No, it's 50 for her as well.
Oh, okay.
You follow me to
is
where.
Is that like just an agreed thing that you came to?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. That's a boundary for both of us to where she. And like you say, it's not.
Sorry, I didn't mean to leave the question, but
it's okay because I think it's a valid point because that boundary is the same for both of us.
Yeah. Now, your relationship.
Yeah. Now, does that mean that I don't trust her to she's in charge of finances.
Right.
Now, if she needs to spend $2,000, I'm really fine with that.
Yeah. Because you trust that she knows.
Because she knows what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yet I would be surprised if she were to do that without saying anything to me. It would come as a surprise this, you know, at this point in our relationship, if she were to do that, because I know, you know, as she spends, it's like she wants me to know so that I can plan accordingly too. Yeah. But yeah, it's not. And that's where I think so often boundaries can be confusing. Is because it seems as if, well, you don't trust me.
Oh, yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
But yet at the same time, what it comes down to is there is a healthy understanding, if you will, that says, okay, if this is going to happen, we're going to have a discussion about it. And I think that's the difference, you know, between healthy, because if a, right. in an unhealthy relationship, well, you don't trust me, I should be able to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
Well, all we're really doing is creating reactivity around trust.
Right.
Because don't tell me what not, what I yeah. can't do, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But, you know, and that's where, you know, relationships get difficult.
Yeah. And again, it's the formula thing doesn't work if you try to apply it to boundaries. Like, oh, Mark's and Chris is $50. So
yeah.
I really like that. I'm going to tell my spouses what we have to do. And like, you know, it might be a good, I'm not, you know,
yeah.
that's a perfectly great guideline. And I think if any, here's the thing, if any couple agreed, this is that boundary, this is where we want to do it, then it'll work just great. It's more about kind of figuring out the,
yes.
the formula for your marriage. And the reason the leading question I asked you is because I think the amount I spend versus the amount Megan would spend, like her caring what I spend, she cares more than what I care about her spending, because
sure.
like you said, she does the finances and I just kind of yep. trust that. And I don't even check the bank. So I wouldn't really necessarily know, you know? And you know, that so far works for us, works
sure.
great. You know, we don't have an agreed amount or whatever, but I definitely know when I went over it.
How did you find that out, Justin?
No, actually it's, yeah. We're like you and Chris in the sense that we communicate most of the time when there's any kind of significant expense. So it's okay. not, you know, but definitely learned it by, yeah, probably making some assumptions early on in marriage. But honestly, I can't remember a specific, but I just know, yeah, you come to that.
Yeah.
Learning. But,
well, I have a specific, I'll be honest with
it
you.
It was $51 something.
No, it was $125 something.
Yeah.
That's how
three times the 50.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where the 50 came from or started to come from, because this is what made it a hot topic. This is going back to unhealthy Mark and Chris on finances. I would allot I would bring home, you know, all that I made, but you know, if somebody gave me some cash or something, you know, that was kind of mine as I saw it back then.
Right,
okay.
Right.
And so that was available. That was kind of a slush fund, if you
yeah.
will, you know?
Yeah.
So I had my
keep
little,
it in the Cayman Islands. Or...
No, I could keep it in my pocket for the most part. It wasn't that much, but at the same time, you know, I wanted a shotgun reloader, a shotgun shell reloader. And I got to that point, $125. I, you know, purchased it, paid for it, you know, and it's like, you know, Chris eventually found it in a closet, you know, it's like, what's this and how much? And, you know, and I really had to, you know, it wasn't that she was out of line for asking all those questions,
yeah.
but I also recognized how that broke a trust to a certain degree. Not that we had that boundary in play, but it's like, how can you can have your funds and you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
So
that was an unhealthy aspect for us. So now establishing a boundary that says, okay, I'm not spending this. And it doesn't matter what it's necessarily on. It can, you know, for a job, for the house, you know, it's just communicating that.
So that's a great segue into kind of how do you get to where you establish a boundary? And it this is the sticky point. This is where
sure.
a lot of people run into trouble, is they don't realize that often boundary, because again, there's not a formula to say, hey, when X happened, you know, XYZ level is reached, you know, go into negotiation mode, build a boundary and continue forward, right? Like,
sure.
there's no formula for that. So how do we usually find out a boundary is needed?
We usually find out about it through conflict.
In crossing over whatever that
sure.
boundary,
yeah.
know, unspoken boundaries, right?
Yeah.
So that's what happened with the shotgun reloader. It's like,
yeah,
there wasn't a spoken boundary, but there certainly was, you know, an implicit or implied or expectation.
Yeah, expectation's
right?
a good word.
Because I don't think it's a boundary until those expectations are communicated. So
sure.
So this gets to my point, which is how do you get to a boundary? Well, you usually cross over. There's a conflict, like you said, and sure. there needs to be a conversation.
Yeah.
And that conversation is about assessing need, about communicating needs, expectations, and figuring out how to move forward. Now, the reason I say it's a sticking point is because a lot of times, especially in immature relationships, that conversation can be seen as like a relationship ending conversation. Like you don't trust me.
Sure.
You want me to be somebody I'm not.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a pretty common thing. Like you want me to be someone who just reports to you every time I spend money on a pack of gum, and I'm never going to be that person. You want me to be someone I'm not, right? Mm-hmm. It can quickly go that direction. Sure. Especially if there's not already patterns of health, relational health in a couple, right? Or, you know, the two people in a relationship,
right? Sure.
And so it can quickly divulge into that kind of thing. But the way I see it is, a real relationship is born out of those conversations, and when you start to realize where the boundaries need to be and you start to establish them, and then you're able to move forward with proper boundaries in place and also learn how to build boundaries in a relationship.
Sure.
Like that is key to a healthy relationship, is not just building a relationship, but learning that process is necessary probably throughout the life of the relationship as more expectations are surfaced or,
sure,
you know, implied expectations, you know, those things kind of surface, and to be able to have a conversation, say like, I think this is something you've mentioned before. Help me understand, you know, or you can come to those conversations. Help me understand how the shotgun reloader showed up in this closet. You know?
Sure.
That kind of thing. And again, I think the more you're able to work through those things, the better the easier it becomes to build boundaries in those places and be able to say, hey, this worked last time. Let's talk about it for this thing, you know?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on
that? I was actually coming back to that. And I think you bring up a great point. From my perspective, it made sense to be able to do that. But yet I'm going to admit now, okay, I should have been able to talk with Chris about that. Cause I would admit that there was a part of me that says I can do this on the sly.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that's when I start to think, and I think this is maybe part of the formula as we're talking through, when I start to think that it won't matter or they don't need to know, I'm probably crossing over a boundary.
Yeah, that's good.
Because realistically, if there's something that I can honestly say, I didn't think about it. It wasn't a big, I didn't realize it was crossing a boundary where you're concerned.
Right.
But so often what happens is I just want to do what I want to do. And I don't want to have to deal with you disagreeing with me.
Right.
And that's,
or like have to make a case.
Yes. Yeah. To, you know, have to have a discussion.
Which sounds like the thing in you that said, I'm just going to kind of use this money I got over here on the side. Yeah. I'm going to do this. Not necessarily consult her because I kind of want to avoid that conflict.
Yes.
Means that there was also some boundaries that need to be established from your side. It wasn't just Chris needing to build a boundary with you about, hey, you know, there needs to be a limit to them. But also there need to be a boundary on your side that'd be like, hey, I shouldn't be trying, like, I mean, this is what you're saying, I shouldn't be trying to avoid a conversation with Chris about spending. I should want that conversation.
Yep.
And if I don't, there's something going on in the relationship that needs some boundaries, that needs some improvement. Both, but instead it went the other way. You know, and
I did my own thing.
Yeah. And the boundary had to be created regardless, but
And I think to your point too, when you were, you know, talking about being able to do that within a relationship, and granted, I would say, you know, you and I, you know, need boundaries just like every, you know, romantic relationship, friend relationship, business relationship, you know, all need boundaries. In other words, that's why we define a work day.
Yeah.
you know, yes. in most places,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, because boundaries can sound confining or scary or whatever, but sure. you operate by boundaries.
We operate by boundaries all the
Everyone
time.
Everyone does, yeah.
You know, you like if I just mention certain
If you don't,
dates.
If you choose not to operate boundaries, eventually you'll operate by the boundaries of jail cell
sure.
bars.
<Yeah. laughs> You know, I mean, you know, January 1st, it's typically a new year boundary, you know.
For you, Mark. That's your truth.
Yes, that, but you know what I'm saying. There's different, you know, we operate with them in our lives yeah. In an unspoken manner, and we have no issue with it most of the time that, you know, a year is defined in such a way. But mm-hmm. coming back to what I wanted to say, you know, when, help me, the part where you said, help me understand.
Yeah.
I think what happens is boundaries make perfect sense based on my personal dynamic, okay? The way I grew up, you know, my boundaries make sense
right.
to me.
Right, it's like, obviously you'd ask me about spending $150. That's what everybody does. You're weird, right? Or vice versa.
Well, there know. Again, it's yeah, it could be in the other direction. It's like, no, it's like I didn't necessarily grow up the same way. And that's where
obviously you understand if I have $150 in my pocket, I get to spend it. I mean, that's just what normal people do, right?
But the interesting part is it's really about intimacy when yes. I'm able to understand where your boundary comes from
and my care need, about it.
Yes. And my need to respect that in such a way that can establish trust. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm just saying your boundary doesn't matter, okay, and granted, I understand, you know, Chris's, I think we've mentioned it even in Wives, but, you know, Chris's father grew up in industry. He had lost his job a couple times. You know, they had had to move. So there were times where I realized she didn't necessarily know where the next paycheck may be coming yeah. from. You know, yeah. not in a, you know, her dad was a good provider, but, you know, in that industry, in manufacturing industry, you know, that was part of that era and time. And I can remember family members, you know, around us that kind of fell into that, even though we grew up in different areas. And yet my father did the same job, you know, from the time I was born until, you know, he retired from that job. I think he had like 50 or 60 years in type, you know, 50 years type. I remember, you know, to where that my perspective
was money in the bank
was different.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Yeah.
And I realized how what I did was basically a trust violation. And I think so often it's in the ability to understand how important these boundaries are to the other individual, you know,
yeah.
based on where they've come from. And I think, you know, I'll run into that so often with, you know, people who have never experienced abuse have a hard time recognizing where this, you know, this narrow bound, where these narrow boundaries or confining boundaries are coming from within relationship when they're entering into relationship with somebody who may have experienced hurt or abuse. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Yeah.
Because that person is definitely going to have some narrower boundaries or, you know, ending towards one end of the spectrum or the other.
Yeah. Or sometimes less boundaries than normal because they've been trounced on.
Sure.
Right. And so
yeah.
it's like, why don't you have that normal boundary that most people do? And it's like, well, it was beat out, you know, or whatever.
Yes.
So you can kind of go both ways even in that.
Yes.
Again, formulas, right? Like there isn't a perfect formula.
Yeah.
It really comes down to the formula is this. If you're in a relationship with somebody, uh-huh. there will need to be boundaries established eventually.
Sure.
There is, however, what we call the honeymoon period of a relationship, right? Where sure. everything about that person is great. And why isn't everyone like this person? This person's great. This relationship's great. We're best friends. There's nothing wrong here. We won't ever even need to set any boundaries
sure.
because we're so in line and alike in, you know, right?
Like, yeah. Well, and the fact that he's spontaneous and I'm so, you know,
right.
routine yes. and I just love that spontaneity.
Yes.
you know, because we just do exciting stuff all the time.
You know, as we're talking a lot about couples right now, but I have also my daughter's been, you know, sharing with me some struggles with relationships in high school and all
Sure.
And just like, so I have a lot of that in mind too, of like, she'll get a new friend and like, they are just, they have a blast. Like, they're just the best. And this person's the best. And that person thinks me is the best.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like kind of that same, what I call the honeymoon period, where you're kind of blind to the defects. Or like you said, you see them with rose colored glasses. So it's like, they're so different than me and it's the best thing in the world.
Sure.
You know? But yeah, so the one constant, the one formula is that if you want a long-term relationship, it will require boundaries to be established at some point.
Sure.
Like, you have to understand that. You have to be willing to do it. And then also, no long-term relationship is built without some difficult conversations building boundaries. And so recognizing that first one that happens is not the end of the relationship.
Yes.
And again, this is, I'm thinking about my daughter.
It's all good.
Kind of the high school drama. It's like, you know, the honeymoon period ends and it's like, well, that person doesn't consider me in this way, and it hurts my feelings. And when I tell them that, they said, you want to change me. You don't want me to be who I am, kind of thing. It's like, yeah, this can feel like end of a relationship or like, and that's the thing with boundaries, is understanding, depending how deep you are in a relationship, that a life without that relationship may be more healthy if you cannot have a one boundary setting conversation. If you can't get through that first one or the second one or third, you know, like if you can't work through boundary setting together, then that's not a healthy relationship that you're able to remain in.
Sure.
And I think that can be, that has to, so getting back to some of those, the codependency that we talked about last week. Or, you know, 2 weeks ago, but maybe last week for you, the listener.
Exactly.
We haven't decided yet.
To be determined.
TBD. Getting back to codependency, that can be the really difficult thing, because in codependency, the person who is the codependent needs the addict. That's kind of what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Last week, folks. It's going to be last week from here on out, because I won't remember. Anyway, that's what we talked about, is this idea that an addict has, you know, very visible and obvious problems in the relationship, the addiction. But a codependent looks like the healthy one, but really, we've talked about they're as sick as the addict for different reasons. And part of that is they need an addict. They need someone in their life that they can fix, that they can, you know, and a lot of codependents are in denial about that. And they'll be like, no, I don't, that's not true at all. I'm perfectly fine. I don't need that. People just gravitate to me because I'm really good at solving problems. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so having that conversation, but the hard thing is, if you're in a relationship like that, there's kind of this codependent magnet, you know, where like, I need that person. And so when you say you got to set some boundaries, yeah, but it'll push them away. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing.
It'll push them away or create change.
Right.
That's the reality.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. And again, depending on how good you are at setting boundaries or how the precedent you've set, I would say often in unhealthy relationships, whether I think of, you know, teenage drama or, you know, an addict and a codependent and just kind of not having the functionality of a, you know, good functional relationship. The first boundary, the first real boundary is going to push people away in an unhealthy relationship.
Sure.
But like you said, that doesn't mean that's the end of the equation and therefore they're gone.
Exactly.
Like you said, it can produce that change, ideally will produce that change.
Right.
That is the motive, you know, the motive for it.
Sure.
Well, there's two motives, maybe more. My health.
I gotcha.
And the improved relationship.
Sure.
And often when we're pushing for a codependent to have those conversations, to set those boundaries, it's in light of, this is for your health.
Sure.
Number one.
Yep.
Most important thing. And without your health, your relationship's doomed.
Sure.
To be crappy one way or another.
Sure.
So you have to establish health. That's goal number one.
Sure.
Goal number two is that this will improve the relationship, because that person will then, it will create a change, right? It'll be a catalyst. It'll Yes, catalyst. It will speed up the change, right?
It will promote change. It'll
promote change, yes.
Yes.
But there's no guarantee. So you have to enter that negotiation, that contractual negotiation, understanding that a result of this might not be the ideal, which is it creates change. Or initially it might look like, no, it went so far the wrong direction.
Sure.
And understanding that, like, that's not the end of the equation.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
No, that's what I was thinking, you know, I mean... that quid pro quo, quid pro quo. Yeah, comes to mind, you know, because, you know, that doesn't necessarily work. If you do this, I'll do that. You know, that kind of thing, you know, that breaks down
in boundaries.
In boundaries.
Yeah, that's a bad pattern. That formula doesn't work.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we often go yes. to, you know, and last week's podcast, you had mentioned too, the friend that had the son, you had mentioned a family dynamic as well. And
that was Stephen Covey actually, right? Maybe.
I thought you were talking with a family and you were trying to, you were their son was an addict and there again, that's where that same dynamic comes into play, because so often it's difficult to establish that boundary that says, no, we're not going to do that anymore for you.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? That's a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to establish that. And there again, that isn't an effort to be mean.
Right.
Air quotes in the air, but you know, it's in a desire to equip you and help you promote change and learn responsibility.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, ultimately that's the goal, is that we are learning, because what you mentioned earlier in relationship, you know, early on, we don't need so many boundaries necessarily because we're responsible for less. We kind of come together. I'm responsible for me and you're responsible for you. And we're learning how to take care of one another. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, as we come together, there's more finances, there's children, there's other relationships, you know, and that ability to be able to say, okay, with responsibility comes, you know, that desire for more boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's something we don't necessarily recognize coming into relationship, because we realize I'm going to look at what it is to mean. Sure. We may have a conversation. How many kids do you want? Da, 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 da. But what does it mean to be a father? What does it mean to be a mother? What does it mean to, you know, raise a family? How often are we going to do this or that? You follow me? And all of those are kind of opportunities to be able to say, okay, what do I think about this? And what do you think? Tell me what you think. And that helps us establish those boundaries in that dynamic that says, okay, this is healthy relationship. The ability to talk about these things and accept influence from one another.
Yeah. Yeah. You got me. You got my brain whirring again. You're good at that, Mark.
Go for it. Share your worrying.
All right. Here's my worrying. No, so here's the thing. I recognize that I think in our ideal world up in here, I'm holding my hand up, like this ideal world that we kind of see in our brain of what it looks like, that no boundaries seems like the ideal relationship. Mm. Like, we don't have boundaries because we're that close. We're that tight. We're that healthy.
Sure.
Right? And the idea of boundaries sounds like, well, that sounds like you guys have some, you know, problems that you're just accounting for or compensating for, right?
Sure.
The problem is, you know, that vision that you might see, like if that's kind of your vision of the ideal relationship, is there's no boundaries. We're just that we just know each other so well. We never step on each other's toes, all that kind of thing. To me, that's just as viable as communism, right? So communism as an ideal is actually pretty great. Like, everyone pitches in, does their part. It's equal opportunity, equal sharing. But in that bubble of unreality, there is no resentment. There is no there's always ambition, despite, you know, the result being the same as the next guy, right?
Sure.
So my ambition's the same, whether whether I get the, you know, a bigger opportunity out of my ambition or not, I'm going to be just as ambitious. Like, sure. In that bubble, there's a lot of things we just kind of assume are there, right?
Sure.
Like, and so to me, again, it's not reality.
Agreed.
And reality requires adjustments for humanity. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so that's where, you know, and capitalism certainly has its downsides, right? But, you know, the way that the United States of America was established was saying, you know what, we understand reality represents a lot of bad characteristics in people. And so we want to build a government that kind of has as many checks and balances as we can imagine. Like, let's just figure out all the ways we can add a check and a balance, and let's inject it. So let's have three branches. Let's have this one be able to negate this one's ability here, and this one's ability, you know, the ability to negate this. And then, you know what else? Let's make sure that they are accountable to the people that are ruling. And we'll do that by right?
Yeah.
And so they just figured out, like, the reality is humanity is pretty messed up, so we need to build a system that accounts for that as best as possible. And, you know, what we came up with is the worst government, except for all the others.
Sure.
I think that was a Benjamin Franklin quote.
Yeah.
You know, and basically it's this idea that we know, understand reality, and we're trying to build a government based on what reality looks like, not some pie in the sky ideals like communism that says, well, if we all just pitch in, everyone will, you know, all a rising tide raises all boats.
Hmm.
And so they're like, well, let's force a tide. Let's force everyone on this tide. Let's, you know, like, make sure that this happens. And what ends up happening is all boats sink, you know, is it because of humanity? And kind of the consequences there. So anyway, back to boundaries. I think that same thing happens where we have this ideal vision of what it will look like, but it doesn't account for reality, which is first and foremost, and most importantly, I'm human. I'm messed up. It's not about my partner being human and messed up. It's about I'm gonna step on toes.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
And I may not even recognize the ways that I do step on toes until I get into a relationship where there's actually a real boundary having conversation. And so often you'll find that too, like in especially in recovery, or like, you know, I say recovery because a lot of times that's where a lot of dysfunctional relationships are, and they're born from other dysfunctional relationships. So there's these patterns in their life where they may have never had an actual healthy healthy relationship where boundaries were set. So the very first time someone sets a boundary, you say, hey, look, when you talk like that, it hurts my feelings. They're like, no one's ever told me that. You're lying. You're wrong. Right? I think that can be the or as a child, right? Like, I think about, again, Mia's age is like, you know, someone setting a boundary with her or vice versa. It's like, well, no one's ever told me, you know, I'm too much, right? So because no one's ever told me, you're the only one. Clearly, you're the messed up one here.
Sure. You know? No, I hear you.
And so I guess back to the boundary thing. Number one, I messed up. And number two, my partner is as well. And that's okay. So I have to be gracious to that, to my partner, and also understanding that I mess up, and be gracious when they come to me with boundaries. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. And that's where I come back to that ability to accept influence from one another is that part that basically says, okay, yeah, we can definitely work this through, or we can't, based on you're not understanding where I'm coming from, based on how important this boundary is to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be fair, I don't think a lot of those conversations come from a healthy perspective of like, I'm just trying to set a proper boundary here. You're not understanding that. It's more often you don't even know that's what you're doing. You're just mad that person stepped on your toe. You say, that hurt. Stop stepping on my toe. Why do you step on my toe? That's rude of you. Don't you realize that you're stepping on my toe? Why would you do that?
Sure.
People don't step on my toes. Only you do. You know, it's like,
yeah,
we usually don't come at it from the Mark counseling version of like, you know, I'm trying to set a boundary.
Well, and I was thinking about that, you know, so often that lack of boundaries seems personal, like you're saying. It's something you don't like me, you want me to change. And it's like, no, it's just a matter of a transition. We want to do this in a way that's healthy.
Yeah.
And so often, like you're saying, it's that resistance to growth, I would say. And here again, I'm not just trying to, you know, add my point by tying growth to that, but it is a defining that helps me recognize that this behavior isn't necessarily beneficial to the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, when we're able to, like you shared, you know, or I shared, you know, when I was able to say, okay, yep, I'm respecting the fact that I need to change because my desire at times when I have funds, you know, early on was to do my own thing my own way.
Yeah.
Which is counter to relationship.
Yep.
And if I'm and I think so often, you know, finances is just one part of that.
Yes. Right.
You know, and I see it, you know, with kids. It's mm-hmm. like just raising that kids. Raising yeah. kids to be able to say, okay, how much TV time, how mm-hmm. much screen time is too much? How mm-hmm. much, you know, how often do we see, you know, extended family, mm-hmm. you know, based on our circumstances, where mm-hmm. where we live, where they live, you know, just kind of.
How do we discipline?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so often, I like what you shared, you know, unfortunately, sometimes without those conversations, mm-hmm. resentment is yes. created.
Yep. Sex is another one. In,
sure.
You know, marital relationships where I'm not, obviously not going to go into detail, but yeah, just the conversations about what the expectations are and on both sides, right?
Yeah.
And communicating those and coming to a place of proper boundaries that says, I respect and love you and therefore don't want to cross your boundary, and vice versa. I respect and love you and therefore don't want to cross your boundary, you know?
Yeah.
And, but, you know, that sounds weird in the idea of sex, but it's these idea of expectations and communicating them and being able to come to a, you know, an understanding, you know?
Sure.
And I think that's what, you know, good boundaries establish is an understanding,
no doubt.
Mutual understanding that is agreed on, you know, and able to be respected. That's a result of a good boundary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm saying, I think from my perspective, it comes back and having those conversations build intimacy.
Yeah.
Because at that point, yes. I understand.
Should.
Yes, I can, and I have the ability to understand how important this is to you.
Yeah.
And I can recognize, okay, finances may not be that important to me, but I recognize it is to you. Yeah. Sex may be more important to me, and you're willing to recognize that, you know, mm-hmm. or however yeah. that works
yeah.
in that dynamic to be able to say, okay, yeah, if this really isn't such a big deal to me, then why am I arguing about yes. it so much?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. and I think there is something to yeah. be said for, you know, even having that discussion in such a way that says, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important yes. is this to you? Because this topic that yeah. we keep arguing about,
yes.
okay, how important is it a scale of 1 to 10? Well, if it's a 10 to you and it's a 1 to me, it's right. like, for crying out loud, yes. why am I even arguing That's about good. This anymore?
That's really good. Yeah. And it's figuring out what are my hills I'm willing to die on. And,
yeah.
And those would be the good places to put a boundary, because without them, you're willing to die.
Like, sure.
Yeah, it's like the 10 ones, right?
Yeah.
The 8 to 10s are probably worth putting boundaries, and everything else is worth having some compromise and being able to ebb and flow
yep.
too, because I think sometimes, yeah.
And I think there is an aspect of ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be able to... Hmm. I'm going to come back to trust. Because ultimately I think part of a boundary is this ability to say, okay, there might be times even in healthy relationship where I cross it.
Yeah.
And yes. it's going to be a dynamic that's circumstantial. Okay. Yeah. And we can both understand that it's not necessarily malicious.
Right.
And we're going to be able to look at a pattern. We're going to be able to look back and say, okay, is this something that's been occurring all along?
Right.
Or is this something that is circumstantial that just happened in a moment? Mm. And I'm willing to say, yep, That happened in a moment. Because the part that I started with, it's like my answer in the phone call. I answered a phone call at like 10 o'clock at night, you know, and I didn't limit my work boundaries. And at the same time, it was one of those things. I had just picked up my phone to Google something in a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that was the moment that my phone rang.
Yeah.
So my thumb just kind of went
impulsively.
Yeah. And that's not justification.
No. Yeah,
it's just a circumstance that basically says that's kind of what happened. And I didn't stop my fault.
Right.
I didn't stop to think about this is a boundary violation.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing to be able to say, I can let it go to voicemail.
Right.
But yeah, in my hand, it was like, and you know, it's like, this person, you know, but I recognize, you know, in hindsight and, you know, through conversation, you know, it's like, I need to, you know, have that boundary established. And most times I would, it was just that circumstantial. Yeah. And I think, you know, my example is a poor one in the context of, such a limited time, but I think, you know, there are aspects where health issues come into play. Okay. Can I do, in other words, if I'm a typical, if I'm typically responsible and, you know, and timely and motivated and helpful. Okay. And suddenly something happens to me physically. Okay. Say, you know, I have a heart condition or whatever, you know, and I have to have surgery. So therefore I go into surgery, you know, and I come out, I'm going to need some time. I'm not going to come out of surgery and be
firing all cylinders
and firing on all. And I think that is just as tough on boundaries sometimes because we get so used to you doing what you do to combine with what I do to combine. Yeah. And now you're no longer doing what you did.
Yeah.
And being able to recognize.
We need contract negotiation.
Yes. But being able to recognize, okay, this is circumstantial.
Yeah.
And I think that's where even margin comes into play, which is maybe a separate topic, but that we've talked about it, you know, that margin to be able to say, okay, are we operating so close to the edge of the boundary that if something changes, we automatically cross over?
Yeah, that's good.
And I think, you know, that's where the boundary, because I think boundaries, okay, are healthy.
That phone just crossed my boundary.
Hopefully that was your boundary crossing, not mine.
Actually, it might have been this.
That's all right too.
Sorry. But
I think that's where boundaries come into play, because we need to be able to set them a little further in than we talked about at the end of last session, than the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
If our boundary's right at the edge of the cliff and suddenly you have to go, or I have to go in for surgery.
You trip.
Our finances change. Yeah. Okay. Then we're automatically over the cliff.
Yeah.
So boundaries are designed to be able to allow some margin in our time and, you know, to be able to still make our priorities, keep our priorities, you know, even when circumstances change.
Yeah. And the difficult part is figuring out where grace ends and codependence starts.
Mm.
So, you know,
or interdependence even.
Yeah. But you get where I'm going with that.
I do.
In the sense that, let's say that person has surgery and whatever, and there's needs to be grace there to say they can't, you know, deliver in the ways that kind of our relational contract was kind of sorted out. Like you do your things, I do my things, and we contribute and we bring to the table this kind of equal provision in different ways. And now you can't because of surgery. Well, what can be difficult is reversion, right? So in that situation, maybe you had worked to establish some boundaries about who provides and how and all that kind of stuff. And it was hard won, and you got to a place of a pattern that was healthy for your family. And then this surgery happened and some reversion occurs. And it can happen on both sides where the, you know, as the person who went through surgery, maybe I revert back to you know, watching more TV like mm-hmm. I used to. But, you know, I have an excuse to, because what else am I going to do? I can't walk very good or whatever it is. Sure. You know? And the other side could revert to that resentment of like, I can't stand when he sits around and, mm-hmm. you know, and he's not being productive. Here I am cleaning the house or whatever. And so there can be some reversion that happens there. And in this circumstantial thing, it's mm-hmm. so important to have grace and to have understanding on both parts to say, hey, this looks like a previous pattern and mm-hmm. it isn't necessarily.
Sure.
Number one. And number two, there can be real reversion of like, okay, my leg's better, but I'm back into my pattern of watching too much TV and sure. not helping out around the house or whatever that boundary breaking is, which gets to number one, boundaries are hard to set. Number two, they're hard to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So once you establish a boundary, mm-hmm. It can reset the relationship on a new norm. And that's sure. that's amazing. That's great.
That's growth.
Yeah, that's growth. Exactly, sure. Yeah. The problem is, like you said, circumstantial things can cause a reversion, and therefore the boundaries may need to be redrawn or re-reminded or, you know, reset.
Sure. Sure.
And that can be harder the initial setting.
No doubt.
Because now you have the resentment built up of like, I thought we got here. I thought we established this. And like, or even gaslighting of like, my leg's injured and it's not my fault. I can't whatever. And it's like, well, is it still hurting or could you help around the house? You know, that kind of thing. Like there can be all kinds of relational dynamics that can cause that reversion. And now those boundaries really truly need to be set again or reset or redefined or sure. modified or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you sense you're going that direction because of this circumstantial thing to be able to say, pause, you know,
yep.
like a referee, you know, yeah. hold up the tee, time out.
Exactly. Right?
Saying, hey, just so you know, I'm noticing this thing in me. I'm noticing mm-hmm. some reversion things where I'm getting a little resentful. And I just want you to know, I know you, I don't expect you to help out, but I feel like I'm expecting that and I don't want that. So let's just have a conversation about, hey, once you're able to be healthy, let's figure out how we can get back to a normal situation. But for right now, I want to make sure you know that I want you to be healthy. I want you,
sure.
you know, your leg to heal, whatever that situation is, right?
Right.
Be able to have a conversation kind of pre-blow up is ideal. But what are your thoughts on kind of, well, I know we're getting real close to time.
Okay.
And yeah, feel free to share your thoughts or if you'd like to pause and we can continue this again.
No,
I'm
happy
to do that.
I think you bring up a great point too. You know, and I'll kind of, not that I'm closing with this thought, but just to be able to say, the systems that we operate in resist change.
Yeah.
It's called homeostasis. It's basically like milk. Think about milk, you know, milk desires to have the cream float to the top and the milk and homogeneous milk keeps it all together. In other words, there's no separation. And reality is that our systems desire to operate in that same likeness, the way they've always done. So change, the system itself will resist healthy change. It's to the point, if I want to do something more beneficial, you know, more healthy, the people within my system will actually even fight that healthy change just because it's different.
Yeah.
And I think that's important when we're talking about, you know, addiction and other things like that, to be able to recognize other people may undermine my desire for growth. But it doesn't mean, just because it's more comfortable doesn't mean it's healthy.
Yeah.
And I think that's where conversations come into play, because so often I think it comes down to, this is going to be a difficult conversation. Yes. So let's just not talk about it.
Right.
And, you know, that's where the air, and, you know.
So to your comment about homeostasis, where we kind of want to separate out the cream to the top and milk at the bottom or that, whatever, in our relationship, going back to what we used to do or whatever. I think that's even not taking into account the law of entropy. So entropy is everything moves from orderly to disorderly, from not chaos to chaos. That's a universal law of the universe, right?
Yep.
And so even in that situation where we go back to our norm, that's also going to become more chaotic because now there's those expectations. So it's not just you go back to the way it was and it's like, all right, fine. It's like, no, it gets worse.
I hear you.
You know, the entropy kicks in and it becomes more chaotic because now not only are we reverting to the way it used to be, but there's also the resentment that's building up and, and those kinds of things. And so it's not, I guess what I'm saying is it's not just like kind of going back to a neutral place and it's well, we could be growing, but now we're just kind of static.
No,
it's
I hear
like
you.
It likely will continue to
in a less healthy direction. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, I agree with you. So yeah. Any other thoughts you'd like to share?
There's one thing that I think I don't know if there's time for, but in the context of codependency and specifically in recovery from codependency.
Because
I know a lot of friends who have worked through that. Even my own wife would you know, share about her journey in that. How the initial learning of boundaries tends to be very prickly.
No doubt.
Right. And so I think that's one thing that's probably worth exploring is like how to have grace for that, but also how to grow into boundaries and not be prickly, and if that's even an option.
Sure.
But usually what we find is that they overshoot, right? So it's like, I don't have boundaries and now I'm gonna boundaries just slam them down on your hands.
Yeah.
This is, and every time you cross over it's like whack, you know. Right. And it's like, ha, you see that, that's a boundary.
Yeah.
eat it.
You know? Understood. And I think it brings up that I think it's you know, Billy Graham basically referring to our relationship with Jesus to the point of he loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us there. Mm-hmm. And I think that prickliness is that love that says, I love you, but I love you too much to see this pattern and cycle continue. Mm. So therefore it may feel a little prickly, but ultimately I desire us, I desire our growth. You get to be able to, and I think so often, even like in sessions, I'll say, hey, you know what? This is the deal. When you guys come to me as a couple, I see the relationship as my client. So if that means I have to step on your toes, I'm going to step on your toes for the sake of the, you know, because anything that I hear or see, I'm going to view that through the health of the relationship.
Yeah.
So yes, there's going to be things that you do that are counter to a relationship. Mm. There's going to be things that I do that are counter to relationship. Yeah. And we need to be able to challenge those. And it's going to feel prickly at times.
Yeah.
But I'm letting you know ahead of time that when that prick comes, it's just to be able to recognize, okay, I see how that's not healthy where our relationship is concerned.
And it's with the intention of movement
to
a healthier place. I think too, like back to what I was saying about there's two goals to learning boundaries. One is health, my health.
Sure.
And then secondarily is your health. And I think especially in recovery, we talk about, you know, you can't have a healthy relationship till you learn health in your personal health. And so I would almost counter what you're saying to where it's not very often that they're saying this is for the benefit of the relationship. It's very often in that first step learning of like, oh yeah, I can't have any healthy relationships till I start learning how to have boundaries. And
sure.
So it
healthy me, healthy us.
Yeah. It often comes from I think that is the long-term goal and that is it, but it doesn't come across that way often. It's kind of
sure.
like, you know, building a wall around me that says, look, I got boundaries and you're going to deal with them whether you like it or not, because I'm learning how to be healthy for myself. And again, for me, I understand that as a very important progression for someone who's working through learning codependence. I think there's, like I said, there's just two sides of that I would want to encourage someone learning that, like, to remember people can be hurt by those boundary slamming.
Sure.
And that hurt isn't always bad.
I hear you. Yeah.
But also just a recognition of it is important. But I guess what I have learned is, like, I think that's a necessary process.
Sure.
I feel like it's true whenever I see healthy growth in someone working through codependence is that they often go through this prickly stage. And if I have access to the people around them And often, like, again, in an attic, I have access to the addict because they're the, you know, often it's a guy and we'll have these conversations. I'll say, let him go through this. It sucks. It's hard. I went through it too. Like in other relationships, like this is not fun. And this can't be the new norm. Like, I don't expect you to live with this the rest of your life, but you certainly should right now. Sure. Let them learn this. You know, they need to learn this.
Sure.
You know? And, anyway.
Well, I think what you're describing is a healthy consequence to avoidance. Because so often we may want to avoid circumstances or not recognize certain things have happened or have been ongoing. And when we ignore those over time, you know, there's going to be greater consequences. And I think, you know, feeling I don't know. It's like, I think, you know, our lives have pain one way or the other.
Yeah.
If we stay in a relationship, it's going to have pain. If we leave a relationship, it's going to have pain.
Yeah. If you work out, you're going to have pain.
Yep.
If you don't work out, you're going to have the pain.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and I think so often our desire is to avoid pain and it's healthy to be able to recognize I'm not going to avoid pain.
You're just deferring. I'm deferring. To a bigger version.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think so often in that dynamic, when I feel that prickliness, allowing it, like you're saying, is a healthy thing because that's really just a consequence that now I'm being allowed to feel. And it says, maybe the way that I was doing it isn't as beneficial as I once thought it was.
Yeah. That's good.
So as far as I'm concerned, that's how I see it.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.